If you're tired of dieting and stepping on the scale, you're lacking energy and confidence, and you're ready to harness your inner athlete, then you're in the right place. I'm Sherry Chaban, and in each episode, I'll help you to rebuild your fitness identity and empower your deepest transformation so that health and fitness are not just what you do, but who you are. Hi, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Sherry, it's so great to be here. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. So you are the head coach of Wits and Weights, and I know you also host a podcast. You're a husband and a father, and you help people build their best bodies and reclaim their time. And most importantly, really reclaim their health from, I think, method in which we both align. And it's a very anti-diet method and really just helping a person more get in touch with what resonates with them the most in order to take action and, more importantly, sustainable action. And so maybe we'll just take this opportunity for you to introduce yourself and share how you got into this space.
Sure. Yeah, Sherry. I think we met through our podcasting. So I do host the Wits and Weights podcast. And I got into that when I got into my personal journey with lifting and nutrition. Right around 2020, I had one of those crucible moments like we all do when you look in the mirror, you look at your age, you look at your family, you look at your lifestyle, and you're like, something's got to change. I'm just not happy where I am. And it wasn't just about looks. It really was about feeling tired and not feeling very strong. And here I have my kids just few years, you know, less than 10 years old, and I wouldn't be able to play with them for a long time. So right before the pandemic, I actually decided to do something about it. Now, at the time, I didn't know what that was. I had experimented with all sorts of diets. And even then I was like, I'm going to go keto. I'm going to go low carb, right? And whatever it was, I didn't know. And I was lucky enough to have a coach, strength coach, who introduced me to strength-based lifting. And by that, I just mean heavy lifts, not cardio, not a lot of endurance type stuff, just lifting heavy weights three, four days a week. And that started to help me feel better about myself. I started to feel more capable. I started to get strong. At the same time, I still didn't understand nutrition, right? So throughout this process, the pandemic occurred, the gyms closed down. And now what do? Rather than make an excuse, and I'm a big fan of like being creative with what you have. Like if you don't have something, be an engineer, put the engineer hat on, which is what I have been for many years of my life, and come up with a solution. For me, that was hustling, finding, you know, a barbell, finding a rack wherever I could, putting that together and continuing on. Of course, throughout this process, I'm fueling my performance. I'm eating, I'm drinking, whatever. And when I say whatever, I mean whatever. So I quickly gained a lot of weight. And, you know, it's something we all do and we don't necessarily want to do that. It's not about the scale per se, but it is sometimes a data point along the way that gives us an overall picture of the things that we're doing. So I gained a little too much weight, but I was getting stronger. And I said, all right, well, now I need to kind of go the other direction, figure out how to dial this in. How do I actually control my body composition, my health? What about things like my heart rate, my saturated fat, my cholesterol that are all starting to climb? How do I deal with those? All of these are important. And when you improve one of these areas, they tend to spiral into the others, mm-hmm. right? Like you don't have to say my only goal is looking good or my only goal is this. They're all okay. Like whatever your goal is, it's okay. And they all tend to help each other. So late 2020 into 2021, I started to research nutrition and evidence-based nutrition specifically. So a podcast like yours and many others like it would have been on my feed at the time because I was just consuming a lot of information and starting to realize was the quackery out there versus what made more sense, right? So then I came across the muscle and strength pyramids. I came across flexible dieting. It came across evidence-based practices. And I started to just track and measure. Now, we talk about anti-dieting. That doesn't mean anti-everything. It doesn't mean you don't have to measure things or track things along the way. It helps to understand what you're doing. And for some people, that could be tracking food, tracking weight, tracking measurements, tracking how they feel. There's always to do it. And I did that. And I created a new level of awareness. I said, whoa, I'm not eating enough protein. Not quite eating the quality of food I want. I'm not eating the fuel in terms of carbs for my lifting. I need to shift all these things. I did that and I started to see results. And Sherry, the revelation you get when you personally are like, I can control my physique and health on my own with my two hands.
Right.
It's like no other, right? It's like, I don't know, if you built a house on your own and you look back and said, wow, I did that on my own and it's possible. And so I did that. And then late 2021, I decided to start a podcast because I was so excited. And you can hear me. I love to talk, right?
Yeah,
I'm
love
already
it.
talking a lot. So I love to talk. I started a podcast, started sharing all of that. And then just by chance, one of my coworkers at the time who also listened to my podcast, I invited her on. She was a power lifter. And she said, I need a nutrition coach. She had been working with one for a while. And she said, well, the difference with you and my other coaches is you make it understandable as to why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the body doing when we feed it this or make this choice? And we started working together and I launched my business at the time. And it's been now about 2 years and helped a bunch of people, but that's where we are today.
Congratulations. That's so awesome. And I want to thank you so much for making that point so clear that anti-diet doesn't mean don't track and eat whatever you want. Anti-diet really means to me this direct connection that you have with yourself where you're able to start to feel what is right for you and what is not. And now that comes out, I believe, in our performance, in our sleep, in our energy levels. And it's not about just eating whatever we want, whenever we want, in whatever quantities, because as you know, it's not about the weight, but I'm sure you start to feel that it starts to impact your performance as an athlete when you're not eating the right foods that fuel you, correct?
That is totally it. If you tell me that you're tired,
right,
or you've got adrenal issues, or and I have a lot of female clients, and I know a lot of women listen to this podcast, there's a history of hormonal dysregulation and all these other things that come out in your biofeedback. And all of a sudden, when you tie that to the input, which could be carbs, right? Just, hey, let's just tweak the carbs and see what happens to your energy, see what happens to your digestion. And when we start to see a positive feedback loop from one of those choices, it reinforces that maybe that choice is for you.
So good. So good. Okay. So let's just rewind a moment to your process and especially about the scientific based process. So what does that really mean? And how can that help somebody who is currently struggling with their weight and diet specifically learn to really harness that power of intuition without getting sucked back into another diet or another mode of restriction?
That's such a great question. Like, what does it mean? What does evidence based practice mean? And a lot of times people think it's whatever a research paper says, because there are a lot of influencers, especially the ones that get a lot of attention and likes and follows, who just say, well, this says this, therefore it's right, and go make this choice based on what I'm telling you. In reality, science is all the experimentation that humans have done over time, all of the anecdotes, all the personal experience and the research all tied together. Right? It's all of those things. So I like to talk about skepticism for the fitness industry. It's core to my podcast and like what I do. Anytime I hear anything that's just a little bit off from what I've heard before, I question it. And I question it. Not in a fringe conspiracy theory way, right? But just like, okay, let's go validate that. Also, even if 9 out of 10 people say X, Y might work for you. And that's how we get back to the individualism, right? So science to me is skepticism and experimentation. However, having said that, I don't want people to get like, okay, what does that mean? If we take something like food and protein, if we take something like protein, there have been numerous studies that show us that certain ranges of protein intake are associated with certain outcomes. So again, if you want to live a long life versus you want to build a lot of muscle really fast versus you want to hold on to your muscle and fat loss, they all have their place in terms of how much protein you might consider eating. And if you decide, I don't care about science, I'm going to just eat half that much protein, you're probably going to pay for it with the results until you kind of feed that loop back in. So it's not like there's a right and wrong for everything and you have to do this, have to do that, but there's definitely what like the majority of our experience shows generally produces a certain result. And that to me is evidence-based.
Right. Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I think that's so important. What you said is first of all, to be skeptical, because not everything you're going to hear has to be truth, especially when almost everything now is backed by quote unquote science, or there's some sort of evidence behind it. Right. And the other big thing is the experimentation part. Right. And that I think is what brings us to individualization. So if I hear something that could be effective before I decide to say, I'm going to do this, period, How about I just ask myself, well, what would happen if I just tried this for 30 days and then saw how I felt? And does that work or not for me? And so I think it's really important because, again, when we're on this search for maybe a particular way that we can transform our health and fitness, we are always looking for something absolute and most of the time cookie cutter. This worked for this person, so it's got to work for me. Or I heard there's this fad diet going on that all the celebrities are doing and it's working, and so it must work for me. But we're forgetting that, first of all, food essentially is pleasurable. So we're supposed to enjoy our food. We're supposed to enjoy our process. And exercise and fitness can be so enjoyable if we also find the right activities for us. And so that's really important in terms of sustainability. If we're going to keep doing something long term, it has to be fun for us. The food has to taste good. And of course, we have to see the results.
You said something really good in there about if somebody is doing something and they're told that this is the right thing to do, you're not even going to know one way or the other unless you try it yourself, right? And I've had clients, I have one that just signed on with me who the reason he hired me was because he can't accept his own idea that something different is going to work. And so he's like, I just need someone to like give me accountability and let me give me the freedom and safety to try it, knowing that I have you to fall back on, which is sometimes why we need a coach. And it was very simply the idea that he loves to eat a lot of meat and fat and, you know, things with that are fairly low in carbs, because that's over the years he ate a lot of vegetables and things like that. And it kind of knows that his performance is suffering a little bit in the gym and he feels he needs more carbs, but doesn't want to let him do that. So it's kind of like helping him do that. Now, here's the thing. If 2, 3 weeks from now, he all of a sudden doubles his carbs and he's like, feeling terrible, this is not working, and my lifts haven't changed, that's the feedback. That's the data we need to say, well, maybe you were listening to your body the whole time and that's what you had to have. Or it changes and you say, great, now I've just discovered something new about myself.
Yeah, so good. I also want to come back to the point that you made about protein because, Philip, with all due respect, I want to call bullshit a little bit on this whole protein thing because I find that we make such a big stress, I find, in North America in general about how much protein to have. And especially in the fitness world, you should have so much protein and really focusing on the protein and focusing on the protein. But what I liked about what you said is, what are your goals? Is your goal to put on muscle? Is your goal to live longer, right? Is your goal to change your body composition? So if we understand very clearly what our goal is, I think we can start to reverse engineer as to what it is that we need. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen this where people will have a goal to release weight. They'll go see a nutritionist or they'll go see a trainer who makes them up their protein to insane amounts, something very similar to what a bodybuilder would do, yet that's not their goals. And actually what they end up doing is putting on more weight or even resisting change because they don't actually need that much protein. And so the moment that they do start to cut protein and start to eat more leafy greens and more fiber in general, they are more satisfied with their meals. They're satiated after their meals. They're actually feeling full. They have more pleasure and diversity in what they can eat. And then their body starts to release weight. So just curious about this because I know there's again so much information out there. What is your perspective on that?
That you're right, that it really comes down to the individualization of it. Now, I'll be honest, I have specific clientele, right? I have a specific, you know, ideal client or person that I work with, and they generally want to improve their body composition and they're lifting. And so there is a certain minimum protein that I encourage them all to get. And I explain why. And we go through again the evidence and why it says that. And we also get the feedback that we just talked about to say, if we just kept your protein where it is, let's gather data. And then as it changes, let's gather data and you tell me what happened. And so we talk about the benefits of things like, okay, you've struggled in the past with your diet. Did you know protein is more satiating, right? It fills you up more. So if we try to increase our protein, will it help us manage hunger? So now we're not emotionally eating or binge eating because we're just, you know, hunger is not as much of an issue. Or we talk about the fact that when you lose weight, right? And again, we're not chasing scale per se, but you do have a fat loss phase you can go through. And we're training, we want to preserve that muscle, but we don't have the amino acids coming in to replenish that scaffolding of our muscle tissue. We're going to lose some fat as well. So the scale weight's going to come down, but also your body composition is going to get worse, and that's not your goal, right? So, I mean, I could go on and on. It really comes down to education and why we're doing what we do. And then you're empowered and autonomous to make that choice if you want.
Right. Yeah, I love that. think that's what's really important is the education key. And then, of course, just understanding what is it that I want to create. And that may require a different strategy than somebody else who's maybe got a very different background or very different experience around fitness in general. All right. So, questions about, let's say, hitting a plateau. Because I know this is something that is one of your superpowers. So what would you do for somebody who's hit a plateau? And maybe first we can just actually rewind and talk about how do you know you're in the plateau?
Yeah, one of my superpowers. I love it. Okay. It's true because plateaus trip a lot of people up, right? Like, if it's usually something you have a simple goal, you want to lose weight, you want to gain muscle, you want to do XYZ, and then all of a sudden it stops working. This is where I go back to data and measurement. So if you work with me, we collect a lot of data. And for some people, that might be overwhelming. You're like, well, I don't want to track all this stuff. But there's a liberating, there's a freeing aspect to that. If you think of anything, if you think of your budget, if you think of planning for vacation, again, it depends on your mindset and you as an individual, but generally having more information and thinking ahead is going to give you some sense of, okay, a little bit of less stress now because I know what's happening, even though I have the little added effort of having to track all that stuff. So we try to make tracking that stuff as easy as possible, right? With modern technology tools or whatever. So a plateau is just something has stopped working. Well, if you don't have the data, you don't know why. The most common plateau I see is when we start working together and a lot of things are changing at once. You're lifting weights now, you might be moving more, you're in your protein or shifting things, you're drinking more water, maybe you're getting more sleep and so on. And I don't even like anybody to be in a dieting or fat loss frame of mind when we start anyway. But let's say the first like 8 to 10 weeks, we're starting to get all this stuff leveled out. And then we say, okay, we know we want to change our body composition. So we're going to go in a short fat loss phase here. And we start doing that. And then 3 weeks in, it plateaus. All right. We have to look at what happens. If you just have scale weight, you're going to get, this defeatist attitude of like, it's not working. My body's not responding. My metabolism is broken. It's my age. It's my hormones. And you start going off the deep end with all the reasons. But then I say, well, yeah, we were measuring your waist size too, right? And look, you just dropped 2 inches on your waist. So all of a sudden, I see that the scale weight doesn't move. Your waist size goes down. What does that mean? Well, that means you're losing body fat and gaining muscle at the same time. Now, per some of your philosophy, Sherry, and your values of like the non-dieting and all the other stuff and how you feel, you don't have to have those exact data points. You could have the biofeedback and how you look in the mirror and feel. Like if you feel like your pants are looser, you've lost body fat, right? If that's important to you, right? So plateaus are assessing all the data and tweaking or explaining that it's not actually a plateau. Like in that example I just gave you, it's not actually a plateau. It's just you're trusting one data point more than it deserves.
Yeah, I love what you said actually about just really understanding that what your intention is really affects the outcome, especially around creating disordered relationships with food. And that's the thing is the way that I hear you speak and the way that you work, it's really about performance. It's really about you shifting your mindset. And the ultimate goal is not just losing weight and changing the way that you look. It's not just about appearance. And it's not this exchange, every little thing that we do towards our health for that outcome. In fact, the exchange is becoming more strong, becoming autonomous, becoming more empowered through that strength and that transformation in your body, which is ultimately why I use that word athlete and why I call my clients athletes because it is the mindset. An athlete is not focused on losing weight. I'm not stopping to eat sugar because I'm wanting to lose weight. I'm stopping to eat sugar because, man, I get a crash so quickly in the afternoon and it affects my sleep. And I notice it actually affects my performance and it doesn't really feel great. And that would be the reason to not eat sugar or to avoid sugar versus what the weight says on the scale or how I feel in my body or the size of my body. And that's where really we start to differentiate in the psychology around being an athlete and being a person who's struggling to release weight.
Love that too. And the converse of that is when, say, a client starts to tell me their wins each week and they're all about the fact that, okay, yeah, they had a new PR on their squat, but also that they see foods that used to be emotionally comforting to them or trigger foods. And they're like, I just don't like eating them anymore. Like they don't make me feel great. And when I eat them, my body immediately tells me this is not what it needs. And that to me is so heartening because I know that the emotional tie into food is so prevalent across everybody. And I was like that as well. So the athlete concept is that anybody at any age can be an athlete. Like you put it, athlete is athleticism is a mindset, or athlete's a mindset. And if we just want to be very visceral about it and physical about it, think of what an athlete does. What do? They train.
Right.
They train. And what is training? It's skill development and personal improvement. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not competing. It's not looking a certain way. So when I say, okay, let's look at all the aspects of what we're doing in our life, and are we improving, and are we taking the steps to get the feedback to improve? That means you're an athlete. So lifting weights, that could be simply you're getting stronger, right? The weight on the bar is going up. It may not be that, might be another metric. But at the end of the day, if we can focus on that, everything else follows.
Yes.
Like you said, the food is just this other enjoyable thing, part of an experience of life that fuels our performance. And then guess what? You sometimes could eat more than you ate before once you go right. through this process and you improve your physical health and have more lean muscle as well.
Right. So good. I love it. We're so, so aligned. And it's interesting because sometimes when I use that term with some of my newer clients and I say, come on, athlete, let's go. They're like, what? Me? Not me. Come on. I'm not an athlete. Right. And we have this misconception about athlete being just somebody who performs at a high level and gets paid a lot of money to do that. Right.
Right.
But it's really just how I now start to view myself and my body and my performance and really who I am, my value in a very different way.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you have that self-doubt, like I would just say it out loud, like I'm an athlete. What would an athlete do?
Yes.
And it could be in any area of your life. It could be in your relationships, like with your spouse. Like what would an athlete do to train and get better at my relationship? Right. Because it's not just living life randomly. And, you know, and you do live in the moment in the present, but you also look ahead and you make plans to improve.
Right.
One quick thing. So back in 2021, I had back surgery. And I was like, what, a year and a half into my lifting journey. And my whole life, I had been overweight and, you know, kind of fluffy or whatever. And I remember going into to the post-op and the doctor's like, well, it looks like you're recovering pretty quickly, which is pretty typical of athletes. So I'm just going to see you in 6 months. And I'm like, what'd you just say?
Right.
The word athlete. Right. I didn't think of myself as an athlete at the time. And he said that, I'm like, no. And granted, he was kind of going by maybe physical appearance, but it was also just the general capability, confidence. You know, I maybe seemed younger than I was. Anybody can be an athlete is my point.
So good. What a beautiful story. And it's interesting because this just highlights and reminds us that the way that we view ourselves is not the way that anyone else views us. And especially when we are on that road to fitness or on our health journey in general, what's super interesting is, again, we view ourselves, what we see as our limiting beliefs, other people are admiring. And it comes down to that athletic mindset is the intention as to why we do that particular thing. If I go for a run, I'm not thinking about the number of calories I have to burn to continue to be in deficit for the rest of the week so I can release weight. I'm going for a run because I'm connecting with nature or connecting with my body or just seeing what I can do for myself that day. Or maybe I'm wanting to make a PR today and I really want to just beat my previous time. And so it starts to change the reason why we show up for ourselves. And it goes from just focusing on punishing ourselves to get a particular result to really honoring ourselves and starting to experiment with what our body is actually able to do for us.
I like your story about not thinking about running for calories burned. You're instead thinking about the other aspects, because with many of my clients who come in wanting to lose weight, and by the way, I don't message myself as like for weight loss. Many of those clients, we end up not dieting at all. Mm-hmm. And they actually just lift weights and they end up getting the benefits they would have gotten if they dieted. And then some, of course.
Right.
But if it can be fun, if it can be accessible, if it can be something you look forward to and enjoy the process, that's where the adherence and the sustainability come in. Because if anything you're doing, you feel like you're being forced to or forcing yourself to do, that's like a recipe for disaster right there. Even a fat loss phase, like for a bodybuilder or somebody who's trying to improve their physique, like if you really feel like you're forcing it and there's not some intrinsic motivation there, because things are going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Things are going to kind of suck a little bit sometimes when you're on this journey. Like we have to admit that, right? Even lifting weights can be hard, but then you get intrinsic motivation after the fact when you see the result. And then that just makes it easier and easier and easier, even though it's still hard, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the results are not linear too. We feel like, okay, I'm going to do this for this in return, right? And my app says by, the end of the month, I should have already released this many pounds. And that's the thing is, I think that's where we also trip up is that it is not linear. And like you said, you may be hitting a quote unquote plateau on the scale, but your body is transforming and your body composition is changing. And so that's why it's so important to go with how you feel. And more importantly, how you're performing. If I know that I'm feeling better, I have more energy and my numbers are going up in the gym and I just feel like I have more stamina and everything around my life is starting to feel easier to do. Even that grocery shopping at Costco, lifting up those big boxes and putting them in the trunk or running up and down the stairs or playing with my kids feels so much easier than it did before. Then I know that there is a change. And if we're focused just on the scale or just one form of measurement as being that indicator, that's again where we get a little bit tripped up because if that number doesn't change, it means we're not doing the results or it's not happening quickly enough for us.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned all these other things that you notice about your life getting better when you improve your fitness. And I'll go even further and say all emotional and physical health is tied together. We know this, we've known this intuitively through all of mankind, but then we're now starting to see scientifically the connections and even the connections that Eastern medicine makes with like meridians and all that stuff. We see how there's some maybe neurological basis there where every little thing you do, let's say you went to the gym this morning, felt really tired when you got up, you didn't want to go, and you're like, but I know how great it felt last time, so I'm going to go. Okay, so that was hard, fine. And you go and you enjoy it. When you're done, guess what it does? It improves your mood for the day, right? Now you also know, well, I'm probably a little stronger, so next time I can lift a little more. And it just upward spirals into everything else. And that's like the positive psychology out of all this. So now we're talking mindset, we're talking mental and emotional health. So here's what I'm going to tie this to is gratitude. Like for those of you that don't have a gratitude practice, having a gratitude practice, even if it's just one thing a day that you write down that you're grateful for, also spirals back into this because the more you're grateful for, the more you do, and the more you do, the more you end up being grateful for.
Oh, so good. I could not agree more. I love everything that you just said, and that's so powerful, and I think an underutilized tool. And I have my dark moments too, where I start to think that I'm the victim of everything happening in my world and poor me and why and why. And then, wait a minute, I gotta snap myself out of this. I'm so grateful for all the things that I have. I have so much and not everything that I have today right now at this moment is my right, but it is a blessing and I have to honor that blessing. And so it's so important. And if we do that daily, we'll be able to just come back to that place and really see all the gifts that we have. And so on that note, Philip, I'm super curious about what you would say to somebody who feels very limited by their circumstance. And I know you've heard this probably a lot with your clients and something I hear often, I'm too old to do that, or it runs in my family and that's why we're obese, or I've tried so many times and it never works, or another story that we're oftentimes telling ourselves that's keeping us where we are. What would you say to somebody who's in that place holding on to that story?
Those are the challenging aspects of coaching right there, Sherry, for sure.
If we can crack this, Philip, like if we can
I
crack
know.
this, like we're good.
We're good. I think it comes down a lot of times to reframing. It's just positive reframing. And I see this all the time when my clients submit their check-in and I ask them for their wins for the week. And they say, well, I did this and this, but
Right.
this, and this. And I'm like, well, first of all, I want you next time to just put something positive in that box. Like, don't even think about anything. When I ask for a win, I just want a win from you. Like,
Right.
just to kind of say, it's okay. Like, it's okay to be proud of yourself. And then the second thing is the language we use, the narrative. Like, when we say, I am this, or I was this, or I'm the type of person who does this, or I can't, or even when you say, I have to do this, or I need to do this, all that language is taking away choice. And we can switch it into, I choose to do this because X, right? Or I chose to do this. And if you reframe that context, you're like, huh, well, if I did that, I can do it differently next time, right? And then you can say, well, then what if next time happens? What is my plan for that? That where I fill in the blank. I will choose to do this because this when this happens, when the drinks are flowing, when the appetizer's there at the table, when I'm asked to go on a trip, when there's a buffet, whatever. It's not that I'm not allowed to do this. It's not that I can or can't do this. It's not that this is good or bad. It's just I choose to do this because.
I love it. So good. So good. And I tell also my athletes to change but to Anne, Right? So I did this and I also am doing this because that but comes up so quickly. All right? Everyone's got that big but that they have to insert somewhere. I did this, but I still have to do all of that, right? So we never give ourselves grace. We never get to be in the spotlight of our success. And we have to start changing that. And whatever we say about ourselves is truth. That is just the bottom line. However we describe ourselves is true. Whatever we feel is our limitation, because we keep saying that over and over again, it's true. If I keep saying I'm not a morning person, I just am not a morning person. I never was. Well, how can I ever be a morning person if I keep saying that to myself?
Yeah, no, I can't add anything to that. It's great.
Well, this was so amazing and I love your energy. I feel like I'm just secretly just taking your energy here because you're so passionate. You show up with this beautiful glow. It's so clear that you're so excited for showing up for yourself and for all your athletes and clients. And so I thank you so much and honor you so much for being that beautiful light for all of us. And so on that note, was there anything else that you wanted to add that you didn't have a chance to do yet?
Well, first of all, the energy is mutual, so I feed off of it. It's not like an energy vampire. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that show.
Not at all.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's mutual. It's abundance mentality. Anything else I want to share? I'm a big fan of action, right? And sometimes when I go on podcasts or host my own podcast, I get lost in like all this great detail and all these strategies and fun stuff. But if you're listening, you're like, okay, what do I do now? I really like a quote by Epictetus. He's a Stoic philosopher, and he just said, when are you going to demand the best for yourself? Like, you are the only person that can do that. No one else is. I'm not saying no one else cares. A lot of people care, but a lot of people don't, even if you think they do.
Right.
You are the biggest critic, but you're also the biggest enabler of yourself. So, what is the action you're going to take? And if you were going to take any action at all, this is a fitness program. Just move. Just get up and move throughout the day, whatever you do. That's a very simple thing, Sherry. I know we, kind of talk about it a lot, but some people just don't. We sit around all day like we're doing right now on this podcast. Get up and just move.
So good. Well, first of all, speak for yourself. I was doing like 50 burpees when looking, Philip.
It. Yes. Those are fast burpees.
I'm telling you. This is awesome, Philip. I really appreciate you so much. And so if somebody wanted to reach out to you to get to know you or maybe ask you a question, where can they go to do that?
I would say follow the podcast, Wits and Weights. And then you'll hear plenty of me, and you can reach out. You could t go to at Wits and Weights on Instagram or my website, witsandweights.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life. Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.